you're in for a wild night.
Welcome, welcome, welcome everyone to episode 182 of Born to be Wild, a wild and wild adjacent exclusive Hearthstone podcast, where we have fun hanging out with friends, talking about the wild format of Hearthstone, and spotlighting members of the wild community. I'm your host, Electric Sheep City. It me, the sheep. It's great to be back on this wonderful evening here in Winter Spring, Colorado. For the uninitiated, Winter Spring is a World of Warcraft location, not actually a place in Colorado, because, you know, I know. That gasp you heard is my favorite person and yours, Hydralisk. Hydralisk, meowdy.
Yo, how's it going?
Good, buddy. How you doing?
I'm doing absolutely awesome. I'm coming at you. Hold on. I've got to reference an earlier conversation that I had with Goliath the Dwarf because I forget where I'm coming from. So I'm coming at you from Stormheim in the Broken Isles. So that's a place that Goliath has informed me is really cold and rainy. So that's where I'm coming from because I live in the Greater Vancouver area, as you in the States would call the Pacific Northwest. And what happens here is it rains a lot, and it's just kind of cold and rainy. Don't really get much snow. It's just really, really wet. So that's kind of what's happening right now. Today, we actually had a beautiful day. I saw the sun for the first time in a few weeks. So, like, that's always an achievement. I didn't get to do... I usually do some lunchtime walks. That didn't happen today. But I'm really excited to be here tonight. We got a lot of stuff to talk about. So for those of you joining us for the first time, welcome aboard. Let me briefly explain how the show works. We record this podcast live every Friday evening at twitch.tv/borntobewildhs. And the video version of this podcast is then posted to YouTube shortly thereafter. Audio versions are also distributed to all podcast apps. However you are watching, listening, or absorbing via osmosis this podcast today, thank you. Yes.
You. So before we get into the main topic of the show, I'd like to say a quick thank you to Shokunin and the other patrons of our show. Your support means the world to us. If you enjoy this content, please like, subscribe, and comment on this video on YouTube. Another simple way to support the show is to leave a review on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts for now, or your podcast platform of choice. Of course, if you're watching live on Twitch, hi Goliath and Azalea and Aramorn and Blue Train. So if you're watching live here, we've got some awesome emotes that you can unlock by subscribing to the channel. The Tall. This is, of course, free if you use your Amazon Prime, just like Azalea Akari did the other day. There are also emotes that you can unlock completely for free just by following. We also have some fantastic Born to be Wild merchandise that can be found at born-2-b-wild-podcast.creator-spring.com. There is also a link to the show, to the shop from our main website, which is, of course, borntobewildhs.com. Much easier to remember than the other one. Finally, if you'd like to support the show financially, you can join our Patreon for as little as $1 a month. If you'd like to interact with us personally, you can also join our Discord, a free and amazing online community of friends from across the world, literally, who love talking about Wild Hearthstone. Links to all of these stuff and things can be found on our website, which is, of course, www.borntobewildhs.com. So, Hydra, now that the house has been kept, how has your week been, my friend?
I honestly cannot fathom that it's been a week since I recorded this podcast, because if you listened to last week, we had Labori Sangre fill in for Sheep, and we had Azalea Akari as our special guest. We had a great time, but I feel like that just happened, which is kind of crazy because my days go by so fast now that if I get to take my lunch break, it's usually at like 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock kind of thing, because my days go by so fast and then I feel like I need to escape, right? And then when I get back, like, so I also turn off my notifications on my phone for Teams because that's how people can reach me. And so I go on my walks and I listen to my audiobook and I do that for an hour, right? And I have to turn Teams off, but when I get back, there's like a lineup of people at my desk, basically, at this point. Like, where were you? Ah, the whole world fell apart. Right? And I'm like, what did you guys do for like the month and a half where there was no manager? Like, I don't understand. But yeah, so things go by. Like, my days are so fast, and it's good. But also, it has infested my subconscious or unconscious. What, like, I find myself dreaming about it, which there was a point in time in my life where I dreamed about Hearthstone. Those days are long gone. I used to play so much Hearthstone that I would dream about it, right? Which I don't know if that's weird or not, but I definitely dream about work. Yeah, sheep?
I just dream of electric sheep. What can I say?
A little bit of Dame Hazelbark sprinkled in there.
This is the way.
Sounds like a good dream. I'm getting a lot more of a handle on my responsibilities at work now. So that's good. The first few weeks, so we're now done officially a month, I guess. That was week number 4.
Wow. Time flies.
time flies. It definitely does. I mentioned before that I'm doing these performance reviews, right? And my HR department asked me to rate my employees on their KPIs, their key performance indicators, right? And so I'm like, all right, let's do that. Where can I find that? Like, I need to, and they're like, oh, we'll send you last year's performance reviews. And so I looked at it and I'm like, the last manager left those spots blank. There is no KPIs. And they're like, well, you have to rate them on it. But there's nothing. They weren't asked to do anything. How do I rate them on it? And this HR representative is like, well, you gotta put something down. And I'm like, why not? What do I do? Right? So it's been quite interesting because, yeah, I'm being asked to rate people on goals that they weren't given, right? So in my opinion, it's unfair to them and it's unfair to me because whatever. So I'm just going to, I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm going to do the best I can at this point. And I'm going to set everybody up well for next year, right? So I'm going to give people proper things to work on and everything like that so that we can, you know, I'm going to do them a solid, make sure I can give them achievable goals and we can go forward for next year. But it's a little much for me. I sort of was given a little bit of the short end of the stick, I would say, from the previous manager. I know they don't listen to this podcast, so that's fine.
To kind of preempt any unrelated advice later, make sure that any of the goals are measurable if you can. That way you can like have them be, you know, oh, you did X percent of that. So even if they don't make the like, you know, binary yes or no, did you do it? Yes, check, no, X. Oh, well, if it's something that's straight up measurable otherwise, well, you may not have completed it, but you got 86% of the way there. So then you can still give them a good, you know, recommendation and whatnot.
86%, they can have a 4 out of 5, right? On like the scoring kind of thing.
And that makes HR's job like a lot more, they are able to then actually translate that into raises sometimes because it's like measurable and it's, you know, concrete and it's there. And it's not just like, oh, you got a 4 out of 5, but like they didn't complete their goal. Well, they got 86% of the way through their, you know.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. Because like a couple of the people had their goals, but they're not measurable at all. It's like, make sure you wear your personal protective equipment with someone's goal. And I'm like, what? How do I know if they did that and how often they did that? And I got to rate them on that?
So did you, bud?
You mean that guy that I see wearing his earbuds under his toque? Anyway, so that this has actually been a really good experience. I'm learning a lot of things. It's really great. Every day, it's just getting better and better, and I'm really getting I feel more comfortable in my chair. Basically,
good.
The best way I can put it. It's really interesting. I'm dealing with a lot of different suppliers and all this stuff to make sure that we have materials for the stuff that we're doing. We do have a purchasing department, but you kind of got to, like, I have to put in purchase requests for the things that I need to the purchasing department. So I have to figure out, I don't know what the old manager was ordering and from where and all this stuff, right? So there was no crossover between me and them. So I'm learning that all, like, on the fly, which is a little crazy, but it's working out. Due to all this mayhem, I have not read as many books as I normally read, which is driving me crazy. I know. So, like, at night, I used to read for 1 hour solid from 10 p.m. to 11 p.m. I always did that. I am asleep by 10 p.m. now. Like, my 10 to 11 reading... Like that is definitely gone. I've been reading the same book, Holly by Stephen King, the release that came out in September. I've been reading it since September. Right? It is December.
That's more than 2 months.
Yeah, it is. So I'm on page 315 out of 450. So the last couple days I have read like 75 pages though. So I've stepped it up. Now that I've been feeling more comfortable in my position. Audiobooks have been going well, though. I still am powering like through all that. I've been listening to Skeleton Crew for a while. That's like a, I don't know, 30-hour short story collection by Stephen King, and I've got about 2 hours left. So that's super cool. And then I told Sheep about this one, but there's the book my boss recommended me to read called What Got You Here Won't Get You There. Which is really, really cool. I don't like reading like books, business books. I've never liked that, but I started listening to this one and I actually like it. It's kind of neat. The theme of the book, well, the title is What Got You Here Won't Get You There. So like the theme of this whole book is you got to where you are not because of the things you're good at, but despite the things you're bad at, which is like a complete like 180 of anything I ever thought of, right? Like, you know, I did all these good things. It's like, no, you got there despite of the bad things you do, right? So it's a focus on the little things you do that annoy everybody else, right? Which is cool. Like, for example, interrupting people or always shooting down. I know we do that all the time.
I do it all the time. That was like guilty, not a.
Yeah. Or not like shooting down people's ideas or starting your sentences negatively, things like that. And it's been pretty like eye opening. Not that I think I do a lot of the things. There's like these 20 bad habits of successful people. And the author says that there's going to be one or two that are you. If there's like 6 or 7 of them, then we got a real big problem.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so it's kind of neat. There's one of the things in there that I found fit me, and it was always feeling the need to give your 2 cents. So there'll be a conversation, and instead of sitting back and listening, I always got to be, well, actually, blah, 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 right? And nobody likes that guy. So that was one thing that I feel like I can sit back and I can listen and maybe soak things in before I try to one-up you or whatever with, like, say, well, your idea sucks and this is why, or this is what I think we should do. And like a public, like say like in a group setting or whatever. And obviously I wouldn't say anything rude like that, but that's just something that I've noticed that maybe I could possibly work on. So the whole book is about, like, not necessarily self-diagnosis. The author doesn't encourage that, but you can still find the things that you do that are, like, what the guy recommends is pick the guy who sits next to you, or girl or gal or they, whoever, who sits around you, and see if you can, don't tell them about it, but start to look for those flaws in that person. And that'll help you find them in yourself, which is kind of interesting.
Start judging everyone around you.
Start judging everyone around you. They actually even, so they said, tell the person who sits next to you, this is the thing that I do that's annoying, and every time I do it, make me give you $10.
Oh. Right?
And, yeah, and so you'll lose money real fast, and it'll make you change real quick. I mean, have to do that, but it's an example of what.
$10, that's like a quarter USD, right?
Yeah, something like that. Always the money jokes. Anyway, it's been pretty cool. I'm enjoying it. I did take some time to myself, and I went with, so there's two friends that I went to a concert with recently, and it was really neat because the last time the three of us went to a concert was in 2003.
Whoa.
And we went to go see Metallica and Godsmack opened, right? And so that was 20 years ago, and we were in high school, and we went to a concert this past weekend or the weekend before, and we went and saw, so it was, I don't know if anyone's ever heard of the band Whitechapel. You've heard of Whitechapel?
Yeah,
that's cool. That's cool. We saw them. They opened up, and then In Flames was the next band.
More familiar with them.
Yeah. And then Meshuggah was.
Yep, very familiar with them.
was the headliner, and it was real good. I have never seen a more amazingly engineered light show than I did with Meshuggah. It was so good. Actually, we had engineers from my company went to go watch it because of that reason. They didn't even like metal. Like, they went to go see that aspect of it. It was such an amazing performance. It was really good. One of the things is, one of my buddies, he brought his nephew to the show, and his nephew's 19 years old. Mm-hmm. And during Whitechapel, he's kind of like, there's no singing for Whitechapel. It's like all just, just music, right? No vocals. And so he's like kind of grooving along to it, whatever, that In Flames come on, and they can be pretty crazy heavy. But when it gets to the chorus, it's radio friendly choruses, right? Like, it's, they've got a hook. Like,
yeah,
In Flames always has a hook, right? So he was okay with that. He's like, okay, I can get into this. But then when Meshuggah came on, this poor teenager sat there for the next like hour and a half like this, like with his hands on his head, just sort of rocking back and forth. Yeah, I felt bad. Right before the concert started, we're standing in line, okay? And he goes, hey, do you guys want to go see Lana Del Rey soon? There's a concert coming up.
You poor sweet summer child.
And I was like, oh no, this concert is not for him.
No, it's not.
He had an interesting time, but anyway, that's basically been my week. It's been pretty good. I have played Hearthstone, but guess what? This is one of those weird times where I don't know if it's the patches or what, but the computer isn't doing the thing now.
Yeah. Right?
So let's ride that out. It's going well. So don't tell my computer to start doing the thing, and we'll be good. All right. So shh, it's fine. Anyway, let's ask Sheep. Sheep, how's your week been, or two?
Yeah. So my couple weeks have been super busy. So gosh, I guess 2 weeks ago, you know, it was American Thanksgiving. I visited my parents. Well, not just me, the whole family. My wife and son, we also visited they came with me. We all went, visited them, did the Thanksgiving thing, came back. Last week, got to do whenever we got back, wow. Words are hard.
Words are
good thing
are
I don't
hard.
Like talk. after we got back, I got to finish up the class that I was working on. The reason why I wasn't on the podcast last week was I was finishing up my final project, which is due on Sunday. That's also why the podcast editing and posting was significantly delayed, because the weekend time that I normally do that on was like nose to the grindstone, because, you know, 28% of my grade was this one project, but submitted the project. Already have the results back, and I got an A in the class, so feel super... Woo-hoo! Thank you. Yeah, I feel super accomplished about that thing. So then this past week has been no class, because the next class starts, tomorrow. Yeah. So no class, but had quite a bit of busyness and business going on last week as well. So I had a work event, like a board of trustees for like this kind of like holding company that my company has that does stuff. So I was like all of our logistical support, as well as on-site support and like minutes taking and all that fun stuff on that. So that was pretty much my whole Wednesday. Oh, and whenever we got home from Texas, my baby, he was sick, and he's been sick pretty much since then. Yeah. So he's got RSV and an ear infection. So, he's been home all week. My wife and I have kind of been passing him back and forth before, you know, like making sure that we can both like get work done while, you know, still making sure that he's taken care of. And then, of course, last week, I was also sick. A little sick this week, too. You can probably still hear it a little bit. But, yeah, all of that on top of Hearthstone. Hearthstone has been so much fun. I've got a lot of Battlegrounds played lately in particular. My best friend got back into the game. He's the one who introduced me to Hearthstone. I convinced him to get back into the game because of the catch-up packs. So because of those catch-up packs, he's playing, and he plays, you know, a little bit of Constructed. He's already at like plat 5 in Standard this season. But he also plays a ton of Battlegrounds. So, he and I are about the same like Battleground MMR now after the new season, which we'll talk about in the news shortly. We're both at about like 2K-ish. I think I'm at like 2.2. He's at like 2.1. Like that's like one game difference. It's super close. So more Battlegrounds than normal, but also Constructed, Standard, Wild, Twist. I haven't been playing as much of. I'm hoping to still get Legend in all of these things, but, you know, it's been a wild week outside of Hearthstone as well as inside Hearthstone. Been playing more modes than I typically do with the new stuff and, of course, like, playing with my friend. So, for a little bit more info about the goings-on in Hearthstone, it's probably about time to...
Welcome to the news. The news is so good.
The news is pretty good. We have we've got a patch, and we've got another patch. We have patches, right? So
yar.
The first patch, 28.2, Battlegrounds Season 6. Is it Season 6? How long is this season?
Yeah, so Battleground seasons are like a whole expansion's worth for us in the constructed side of things. Yeah. So that's why there have only been 6 of them, because it's been essentially 6 expansions. Each one is about like a third of the year.
So two years.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. Well, Sheep, can you tell us about the Battlegrounds update here as somebody who plays the mode, as I do not, unless I'm really bored. Nothing against Battlegrounds, but I primarily do Constructed. Right.
Yeah. And while Constructed is my primary thing as well, I do, you know, complete each of the Battlegrounds season passes as well. And have, like you said, have been playing more Battlegrounds this season in particular. So each season of Battlegrounds has like a different mechanic. The last season was anomalies. They had anomalies before we had anomalies in Constructed. And anomalies are out, and now tavern spells are in. So tavern spells are, it's like another slot on the, you know, you get to kind of choose your different minions. They added another thing. There's always one, unless you buy a particular minion that gives you more than one. You can have two or more than two. But you have to buy one minion for that to happen. I digress. There's always a tavern spell in the tavern that you can pick up. What's cool about the tavern spells is that some of them are that they can be varying gold cost, right? So instead of mana, Battlegrounds has gold. There are some of them that cost like one, so you can kind of like fill out your curve a little bit easier, and it like makes the whole economy different. Some of the really powerful things, like you can buy one that is spinning the wheel of Yogg-Saron. Oh, that one's really cool. Powerful, and that's 4 gold. So Battlegrounds, so much fun. We're not gonna like stick around with too much of BG's talk here. We could do a whole podcast episode on Battlegrounds, but there's been a lot of other stuff going on around the tavern as well, so we probably won't be able to, you know, dive into too deep of Battlegrounds talk here, especially because this is a wild Hearthstone podcast.
wild. Yeah, I noticed with these patch notes, you have to scroll to the very, very, very bottom to get to the Hearthstone updates.
Yeah, because on top of all of the new tavern spells, they also talk about all of the new and or different minions that Battlegrounds got, and all of the new and or different heroes. I think there were like 3 of them. I digress. There's a lot of Battlegrounds goings on, you know, season 6. Battlegrounds is one of the most popular modes in the game. And it's a lot of fun, but it's also not my primary mode either. But I enjoy it. It's my casual mode. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, let's talk about some Hearthstone card changes that we have that came in 28.2, right? Yeah, 28.2.
Yeah. So the first one of those card changes is Cho'gall Twilight Chieftain. So most of the things here will be the same. It still costs 6, still a 6/7, still has taunt and lifesteal. What's changed is at the start of the game, used to be 25%. Now it is a 50% chance to corrupt the game with a random anomaly. So anomalies are no longer a feature that hits in general. So because of that, Cho'gall probably just got the dialed up from 25 to 50% to, you know, add that spice to it. I don't think anyone like, not anyone, but most people are not playing Cho'gall Twilight Chieftain in general. So now we have exactly 2 times the chance. Thank you, Azalea Akari.
I was wondering how you were going to handle that one.
Oh, yeah.
It is not more than two.
It is not more than two. Exactly two. And just like before, if both players are running Cho'Gall Twilight Chieftain in their deck, then it's 100% chance. It's just always going to happen. But because the anomalies are no longer in the tavern, there's no way that we can get two of them. So if both players are running Cho'Gall, then it's 100% chance for it to happen. But now it's just a much higher likelihood if you do run Cho'Gall that you actually get an anomaly in that particular game. I find Cho'Gall to be really fun, but I mean, it's a Boulder Fist Ogre with Taunt and Lifesteal. It's not bad, but it's not really synergizing with anything. So it's just kind of like throwing it in there for the, so just kind of throwing it in there to hopefully get the anomaly. And now you have a much higher percent chance to do that thing.
There are people that really like to play the game just because it's fun. Maybe they like the anomaly. So I get it. Highly competitive people aren't going to be running this card. So let the people have their fun if they want to have their fun, right?
Completely agreed. Absolutely. Well, there have been some other card changes or card updates. So one of them is Fate Splitter. Still a 3-mana 3/3 with no tribe. The old was Death Rattle. Get a copy of the card that killed this. So it's still a Death Rattle, but now it's get a copy of the last card your opponent played. So your opponent can play it and then kill off Fate Splitter. Fate Splitter doesn't have rush. I don't know that anyone... Fate Splitter was not seeing competitive play. So one of the things that they say about most of the ones that we'll talk about for 28.2 in particular is that the following cards and Fate Splitter, not Cho'Gall, are being adjusted not because of their power levels, but because they disproportionately cause bugs and other gameplay issues, which can be disruptive for players and time consuming to correct. These changes mitigate those problems and help future-proof these cards for updates going forward.
That makes sense for this change, because this change, I can't tell if it makes it better or worse, because you could choose what to run into it, right? You could run... if it had one health left, you can run a 1-1 into it, big deal. Right? Mm-hmm. Now you can choose what out of your hand the person is gonna get from you. But what if it's your big turn 7 or turn 8 that you're gonna play, your legendary, your big card that's in your deck, right? And now you're oh no. I have to trade first, then play my card. I get punished if I play my card, then I trade, so it makes you order lull, I guess.
So one fun thing that we can do in our format, note I said fun, not competitive. So one fun thing we can do in our format is we can run Animated Broomstick. So drop Fate Splitter. Last turn your opponent played, let's say they played Sarge Jairus, right? Sarge is on the board. It's right there. We want Sarge Jairus. So we play Fate Splitter. We play Animated Broomstick. We run Fate Splitter into whatever so that Fate Splitter dies. And then as long as Sargeras was the last card that they played, then we get Sargeras. And it doesn't matter whether we run Fate Splitter into Sargeras or a taunt. Maybe we can kill one of the imps that they did. So, that's one of the fun things that we can do with Fate Splitter now.
I was looking at it from the other end, as if they played it and then we're trying to play into it. But yeah, if that's a card that we have, we can totally manipulate it that way too. That's neat.
Mm-hmm. It's definitely not the typical way that it's played. It's typically more for the person who's playing Fate Splitter's opponent to kind of try and play around it. But, there are ways in particular in our format that we can kind of get around it.
Yep. Makes sense.
So the next card update is Monstrous Parrot. Monstrous Parrot used to read, repeat the last friendly death rattle that triggered. And now it reads, get a copy of the last friendly minion that died.
Death rattle
friendly
minion.
Death rattle minion in particular. Yeah. So, you know, if you ran something like, Play Dead in Hunter, you know, because Monstrous Parrot is a hunter beast card. Let's say you had a Play Dead before, you could do Play Dead because that triggers a death rattle. No longer can you do that thing. So now you get a copy of the last friendly death rattle minion that died.
What if it was what if the last friendly death rattle minion that died was silence? Does it still count as death rattle?
I don't know.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Because they've handled that in different ways throughout Hearthstone's history.
Not consistently.
Yeah, I can't recall what it was versus what it moved into. Like, if it was that... I think what it initially was that the death rattle itself had to proc in order for that to happen. And then no longer did it have to proc because it's just that was the death rattle minion. But I don't know if I'm not confident in that. And also, I don't know if that's how Monstrous Parrot in particular works, well, even if that is the most recent consistent thing.
Because that seems the difference here, like almost to the T in how this card changed, right? Because it says that was triggered. So in my opinion, which means nothing because I'm not a dev, but if it triggered, it was never silenced. It actually triggered. Now this says, get a copy of the last friendly death rattle minion that died. To me, that sounds like it didn't need to trigger. So if it was silenced, that's okay.
Well, and there are a number of ways that we can actually trigger death rattles without the minion dying. You know, mm-hmm. I mentioned Play Dead. There's Yelling Yodeler as well. You know, different ways like that you can activate a death rattle without having that minion die. So this keeps, you know, takes that aspect out of it, as well as potentially keeps the silence issue from becoming an issue and being an issue. And, you know, whether the death rattle itself actually like triggers or not, no longer seems as important as whether the minion itself had it at first. But again, can't speak definitively towards that particular part.
Well, this next one's pretty interesting.
Yeah, it is. So this next one is Counterfeit Blade, which is a rogue weapon, 4 mana, 4/2, that reads, used to read, Battlecry, gain a random friendly death rattle that triggered this game. Now it reads, get a copy of a random friendly death rattle minion that died this game. So before, the Counterfeit Blade itself would get that death rattle, and then once it went away, that death rattle would proc. And now you just get a copy, and it has to be a minion. So it's not, you know, a weapon. I think that's the only other thing that has death rattle.
Yeah, just a copy in your hand of the last minion, death rattle minion.
Slows it way down instead of immediately getting that death rattle. Yeah,
I feel like that this is huge.
Completely agreed. We used to play this with like a whole lot of different death rattles in Rogue, but particularly like monsters behind you and, you know, stuff like yeah. that, where we could just get all those like fun, like splashy big Timmy death rattles going on, and now we can still get those, but it's got an extra step. You still got to pay the mana to actually play it and then wait to actually have the death rattle go off. So I personally consider Counterfeit Blade in particular to be a nerf.
Oh, I agree 100%.
The next card we get to talk about is Dwarven Archaeologist. So this is a neutral card. It's a 3 mana, 3/3 epic from, it looks like, Saviors of Old Doom. Used to be a 2 mana, 2/3 that read, after you discover a card, reduce its cost by 1. And now it's a 3 mana, 3/3. So up to the mana cost and the attack. But the big change, Battle Cry, discover a card, reduce its card, its cost by one. So instead of every time you discover a card, the cost gets reduced. It's you discover one single card and you reduce that one single card's cost by one.
And it now costs one more as well.
Confirmed. Yep.
So nerf hammer, in my opinion.
Yeah, like real hard.
real hard. Like, okay, yes, it's instantaneous. This happens for sure, right? You don't have to combo it with something. So
right.
That's cool, I guess, right? Like, you at least get one out of this. Other times, if you're tempoing it out, you're never going to get that effect. Unless, you know, you're waiting for it and you want to, like, roll with these. But you get it once. Guess what? It's going to reduce the cost by one, which basically, I guess, nullifies the fact that this card costs one more now, and it's not as good. So, I don't know.
Agreed. Yeah, it's you discover one thing, you get one discount, you can't chain those discounts. I think duels in particular was what was abusing this interaction, as well as, I think... most of these changes are kind of duels consistency changes, truthfully. Azalea Akari has not seen a Dwarven Archaeologist in particular in duels, so Dwarven Archaeologist, at least, I may have been incorrect on. But we've got the Panda Queen herself. Madame Goya has also received a change. She used to read Battle Cry, choose a friendly minion, swap it with a minion from your deck. She now reads, choose a friendly minion, summon any copies of it in your deck. So this is a complete rework. And honestly, I see a lot of potential with Madame Goya in Rogue in particular. Because, you know, we can shuffle all sorts of different copies of cards into our deck. Yeah. Yeah. Ragnaros into the, what's the card that shuffles it in again? It's the two mana, Gang Up?
Gang Up sounds right. No.
Maybe.
Is it not?
It may be.
It sounds right. Anyways, shuffle the,
yes.
Shuffle,
yeah. It is Gang Up. So yeah. So Rag, shuffle the copies of Rag, then the next turn, Madame Goya, all.
What about a bunch of the darknesses?
Oh, I like that too.
I mean, not as good as Rag. I think Rag would be cool because Rag gets to, you know, do the Rag shot at the end of the turn. But yeah, there's so much potential with this. I think it's kind of gimmicky, but it's super cool.
Oh yeah. Super gimmicky, but also super cool. Completely agreed.
Summon any copy. So like, yeah, if you can just focus. It's not one copy, right? Like, you focus in on the Gang Up on all your Rags, right? You just fill the board. Like, that's super cool.
So the downside, Rag does already have to be on board, right? So you have to somehow keep it alive. Potential. But then you have to, you know, Rag or whatever other card it is that you're summoning copies from your deck. Madame Goya, so that's two card slots, two board slots. So there are only five other board slots that you can do. Oh no, I only have six Ragnarai.
Yeah.
So that's the last of the like complete reworks. I'm really excited to see like some, you know, basically like Trolden style Madame Goya stuff. I don't think that it'll be super competitive, but it'll be really fun to watch like pop off.
Yeah. I look forward to losing to this, and then I will copy that deck, and then I will make other people lose.
This is the way. So also in patch 28.2 was a net new in-game event that is coming soon.
Free stuff.
Yeah, buddy. It's dropping on December 12th. So Grandfather Winter is here for the season. Sorry, Greatfather Winter is here for the season. Bringing toys to everyone in the tavern. Ring in the new year with cheer from December 12th to January 2nd. Complete event quests to earn event XP on the special event rewards track. Complete the rewards track to earn 1 Showdown in the Badlands pack, 2 standard packs, 2 Ravenous Kraken signature common cards, 2 Angry Hellhound signature rare cards, and Great Father Thorum Battlegrounds hero skin.
Right on.
So, you know, a Battleground skin, 2 different signature cards, well, really 4. 2 different, but 4 total copies, because 2 copies of each, since they are not legendaries. And I think that both of these are some of the ones that were like revealed for Titans that never got put like into the game. I think this is the event that we finally get to do the thing.
Hooray! Yeah, so I will always like and thank Team 5 for the free stuffs. The last event... It depends on what you're interested in. If you really love the signatures, like, this is super cool, right? Because you're getting these signature cards for free. If you really like, just, you don't care what type of cards you have. The last event was better because we got 7 packs out of that one. And this one, we get 3 packs. So it all depends, I guess, on what you're looking for. But it's all free stuff and I'll take it. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, to yes and what you're saying, the last event, also, a lot of those packs were catch-up packs, which, you know, for you and me is like, what, 5 new cards? For people who are catching back up or getting into the game for the first time, they were getting tons of cards.
Yeah, so, that's true. Because I remember opening them and they got such a cool animation.
And yeah,
it looked like I'm getting a million things, but I only got the regular 5 that's in it.
So the Winter Veil event is more for folks like you and me. You know, yes, there's the Thorim Battlegrounds hero portrait that's more for me than you. But then there's also the signature cards, which, I mean, that's what we're all about. So I really like, because it starts off with the standard pack, then gets you, it looks like the Ravenous Kraken signature, then Thorim, then the other one, the Angry Hellhound signature, and then the last one is the Badlands pack, as well as the other standard pack. So, you know, I'm definitely not gonna, you know, not like actively, I'm not gonna actively keep from getting the last 2 packs, but I'm no longer, you know, once I get the last signature card, I'm no longer going to be like, oh, I have to do it. I need to. So I like that they put those kind of rewards for me in particular, kind of in the middle. I'm still gonna do it. Like I like to hoard those packs so that, you know, I can, you know, cash them in whenever a new expansion drops and, you know, not have to pay as much money for an expansion. That's always really good. But, what makes me most excited are the things in the middle, for sure. Signature cards and the Battlegrounds portrait.
Yeah. I also noticed about this, it is actually 1,000 less experience than the last event. So the last event for the Wanted Dead or Alive was 4,000 XP.
Wanted
Dead or Alive. So it was 4,000 XP to get all the things in the last one. This one is 3,000 XP. And I wonder... So I actually struggled to finish the last one because I skipped a couple days and I didn't do my quests. And I started panicking towards the end. I ended up getting all the packs, but I was... it was like 2 days before the end and I had like 1,000 XP to go still.
And I'm like, and that one, the portrait was the very last one too.
Yeah. And I didn't get it. I didn't get the portrait. I did the quests and then I was playing games and my games, I was getting between like 6 and 8. I guess that's what I get for playing aggro decks, like 6 and 8, like XP at the most, like per game. And I thought I was going to be fine, but I wasn't. And It's only because I skipped, I think, like the first 2 days of the event, and then I didn't make it at the very end. And so this one is 1,000 less XP than the last one, and I'm wondering if they noticed that Hydralis didn't get there. No, I mean, like, in general, that maybe people didn't finish it off, because I feel like you needed to play, in my opinion, you needed to play every day and made sure you did each one, because I've been able to slack on these before and always hit it. Mm-hmm. And I didn't get there. It was so silly, because the last day I had till 9 a.m. or whatever to be able to get there. And so the night before, I made sure I did my quests. And then the next day, I was hoping, because a lot of the quests, they were exponentially, like, getting higher. Like, you got 100, then you got, like, 200, then 400, and then, like, 700 XP. And it was really neat. And I thought that was going to keep going up, but it didn't. Like, I was getting these, 100 quest XP quests and these, like, 50 XP quests. And on the last day, I had, like, 250 XP quests. I'm like, I can't get there. What is going on? So, like, I woke up in the morning. I'm like, okay, I got like 250 XP to go. Let's see what I got. And it was like these two small quests. And I'm like, oh no, I'm not going to get there unless I hang out in the bathroom at work for like an hour and like play Hearthstone games. It's not going
to
happen.
And then when you get back to your desk, there'd be a line again, right? Like, people waiting.
So I was like, oh, I guess I'm not getting the portrait. I slacked at the beginning. Didn't get it. So now I've got to wait till they decide to sell it to me one day down the road.
Which they eventually will, for sure. I say for sure. I have no inside knowledge on that. I just, you know, they've been really good about bringing things back into the shop lately. So I would be very surprised if we don't see it.
Yeah. But yeah, that's the one thing I noticed. This is a full 1,000... less XP. So cool. I will take that.
And the things where if you miss it, then it's just like you've missed it are in the middle and not at the end, which I also think is a big improvement. Keeps that FOMO from, you know, killing you too much.
Agreed.
Well, speaking of FOMO, thankfully, we don't have too much of it this go around, because the Wintervale festivities keep on a rolling with the Wintervale themed tavern brawls starting on December 13th and Wintervale themed shop offerings starting December 19th, which is cool. But what I was really talking about there is the Heroic Tavern Brawl is returning as well.
Hooray!
So this one is standard format and returns on January 3rd. So luckily, you know, they've got the standard, it is standard, but they've got like the standard, like chalkboard looking like graphic that tells you what the rewards are for each. And notably, there is not a reward that is a hero portrait for getting all 12 wins like Crimson Psy was last time. So thank you very much, Team 5, for hearing the feedback that people did not like that. I may or may not do like a heroic Brawliseum or not. Last one, I did a ton of them to get that Crimson Psy. And I kept on getting so close. Like, I had multiple, like, 10, 11 win runs, which both gave me enough gold to continue going, but also, like, gave me hope. And this time, you know, it scales up. Packs start from 0 wins, you get 1 pack, all the way to 12 wins, you get 50 packs. If you only get 11 wins, you get 16 packs. So it's a pretty big jump from 11 to 12.
That's more than two.
It is more than two. Also, dust, you know, as soon as you get to 3 wins, you get 120 dust, scales all the way up to 1100 dust for 12 wins. And then gold also starts at 3 wins. You get 120 gold. Dust and gold are approximate values. Like, those, it kind of like it's about that. And then the 12 wens is approximately 1,100 gold, which is pretty good. The big reward for these, though, are the golden legendary cards. So at 10 wens, you get one golden legendary. At 11 wens, you get two golden legendaries. And at 12 wins, you get three golden legendary cards. That is more than two.
So I want three golden legendaries.
Right? Who doesn't? That's a ton of dust. So I'm really happy that there's not a portrait kind of being dangled there. I'm really glad that they took that feedback, but also glad that it's, you know, still there for people who want to make the content for it and who really enjoy that really competitive nature to it. Like I said, I may or may not engage with it myself. Kind of depends on what's going on the week of January 3rd for me. But I'm glad that I'm not feeling like I'm going to be missing out on a ton if I do end up kind of taking a pass on this one. So another really impactful thing that's happening, or that happened with patch 28.2, is there's a major shop rework. So they completely overhauled the in-game shop to improve performance and make it easier for all players to see the types of products interest them the most. I'm glad that they mentioned the improved performance, because on desktop, I was like scrolling and it would take a while, and then it would scroll way down, and then I'd like have to scroll up, and then it would be like all jerky and jumpy, and that's not happening anymore.
Yeah, so I thought, okay, so I go out and I buy this like super gaming computer, right? That like I play all the brand new games, and I can put the graphics on really high, and they run really good, right? And so I'm playing Hearthstone, and I click on the shop, and I'm scrolling down, and the screen's like, like shaking back and forth and like not working properly, and I'm like, what? How can my computer run like, I don't know, the new God of War on Ultra, but I can't even scroll through the Hearthstone shop properly? Like, like I don't understand. And then on my phone, oh my gosh, on my phone it's even worse. So like, you're trying to scroll down. All I'm trying to do is just scroll down, and suddenly I'm clicking on things and buying stuff I don't want. Just trying to scroll, man. Like, it's always been broken for me, and I never asked anyone. I just figured it was just me. But now it works.
Not at all.
Like, now it fully works. And I like the setup. I like how everything's split into categories based on what you want to play. You don't have to, like, just scroll on one screen until you get to the thing that you want. You can select, oh, I play this mode. Let's go in there and buy the packs here. Like, it's super cool. I like it.
I will say one thing.
Let's hear
kinda,
it.
Kind of irks me. So Caverns of Time was sold to us as a Wild expansion, right? You know, the first ever Wild exclusive expansion. There are different tabs in the constructed kind of section. One of them is Standard, one of them is Wild, one of them is Twist. There are no Caverns of Time packs in the Wild one. They are in Twist. There are no Caverns of Time bundles in the Wild portion of the shop. That is also in Twist. So, you know, what we kind of speculated about before, that Caverns of Time was really a Twist product rather than a Wild product, is, to me, essentially confirmed by kind of where they're placing them in the shop.
Yeah.
Or not placing them, for that matter.
So there's two sides of this, right? So I saw the argument in Discord where it's been said that, well, Standard packs are technically Wild, but they're not in the Wild section. Fair enough. Yes, that's true. But at the same time, there are Wild legal expansions that are also Twist legal, and they are in the Twist section, right?
All of them except for Caverns of Time are in both Wild and Twist.
Exactly. Yep. So if the Wild legal and Twist legal are all in Twist, why is Caverns in Time that's in Twist not in Wild? That doesn't make any sense. So I don't think that the argument of standard packs or Wild packs has a whole lot of a leg to stand on because of that fact.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, you know, like,
maybe it's an oversight.
It's still there. We can still buy them.
I don't know.
It could have just been an oversight. It could have been a coding thing. It could have been a, you know, like, they didn't know where to put Caverns of Time. You know, they did a really good job of the Wild shop in particular of delineating it by the different standard years. And Caverns of Time doesn't have a standard year to attribute it to, right?
It's not a good spot to put it.
Right.
Really, because, yeah, there's no, it doesn't fall under one of those categories, but it should just have its own square, man.
Mm-hmm. So I absolutely love Twist. I absolutely love the Caverns of Time cards. I love that whole initiative, but marketing it as a Wild expansion was, I think, a little disingenuous.
Unless they go back on this and put it in the Wild store and say, oops, we're sorry.
I mean, even if they do end up putting it in the Wild store, like, I think Caverns of Time, I mean, it was meant to be an entry point for people to get into Twist, into the Wonders format of Twist, which I don't think is a bad thing. You know, like, I think that's a good thing, in fact. But it's marketing it as a, you know, Wild exclusive whenever it was primarily a Twist product. That kind of, like, made me a little grumpy.
See, and this is why we try to be genuine, and we started saying Wild and Wild Wild and Wild Adjacent exclusive podcast.
Exactly.
Said, not lying. We started talking about Twist, and sometimes we talk about standard a little bit, so can't pretend you're something that you're not. Caverns packs.
I agree. Caverns packs!
Right. Though overall, the store is super cool. I really do.
Yeah, completely agree.
Enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, let's just complain on Twitter till they fix it.
Gosh, I haven't been on, like, properly been on Twitter in a while, actually. Like, every once in a while, I'll scroll and, like, make a comment, but yeah, I just haven't really been on.
Yeah, me neither.
Meh.
It's been a while.
Well, another thing that has been a while for both of us is the new player progression. So there's been a new player progression update.
Uh-oh.
So, yeah, this is a really good thing, though. This is a really, really good thing.
I know, but it's going to make me want to do it.
Well, luckily, you already have all of the, like, other regions, like, for your account, so you won't be able to do it with
those. No, don't worry. My account with Hearthstone is set up through my Hotmail. I still have a Google account where I only play on NA. I never started on EU or Asia with the Google email account, okay?
So after finishing the tutorial, new players, Hydralisk new players, will now get access to the new apprentice track, an experience replacing the current apprentice ranks and intended to simplify and guide new player development and progression. Modes and classes, including Death Knight, are now earned as rewards on the apprentice track instead of their previous unlock requirements, which, if I recall correctly, was like playing against them in the Innkeeper.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So they're also introducing the Tavern Guide, which is a series of quests designed to teach players about Hearthstone's core systems and strategies. The new Apprentice Track and Tavern Guide are expected to take less time to complete than the current apprentice ranks, which were a real slog, a huge grind.
It was like 50 ranks or something. It was crazy.
It was absurd. Back in the day, I was watching Liquid Ox. He would start a brand new account. And I think this was like during the Galakrond Rogue, like in standard meta. So it's been a while, but he would grind through, you know, make his deck, just grinding through the apprentice ranks. Then whenever he actually hit like the regular, you know, bronze 10 or whatever,
rank 25.
He would basically just sail through. Yeah. Then he would basically just sail through. And whenever he did that, I think he like ended up entering legend at like rank 2 or rank 3, like super duper high, because his MMR was so high, because he was just like slaughtering noobs the whole way.
Yeah. When I did it, I just disenchanted everything, and Midrange Hunter was good at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I just disenchanted all my cards other than hunter cards and built the best mid-range hunter, and just it was not fun for the people that were playing against me. I even had somebody like definitely call me out. They're like, how do you have all the best cards from mid-range hunter? You're not a beginner. And I was like, well, then neither are you.
Yeah, if you know these are all the best cards,
you know exactly what I'm doing. You're guilty, right? As well.
Well, and you know, the way that you and Liquid Ox were doing it was not really a way to like have like a sustained account, at least for the way that Liquid Ox was doing it. I don't know, no for you, but he was basically just doing it as like a 1 month challenge type thing. So yeah. He was like you were disenchanting everything, like not getting the full value for everything, just so that he could like have this deck that he was, I mean, he was an incredible pilot of the deck. Like he was routinely in the like double or single digits in legend in general anyway. Right. Mm-hmm. But whenever he entered with this, because of all of the stuff and things, like I mentioned, he was higher, up in that ranking. But he had no other cards. He had one deck, and that one deck was what he was doing. Mm-hmm. So also in 28.2 were a lot of bugs and game improvements. So for example, they fixed a bug where Chittering Tunneler's Battlecry didn't deal damage. That's a pretty big bug, because that's like the whole Battlecry.
That's the whole thing it does.
One that affects us is they fixed a bug where Magister Dawngrasp's hero power was causing disconnects.
Yeah.
It's no longer a bug. Magister Dawngrasp is no longer banned.
Hooray!
Yeah, buddy. So the list of different bug fixes and general game improvements is pretty long. We're not going to go through all of those, but that one and the other fun one was that there was a bug that cards transformed by shenanigans, the rogue secret, that whenever your opponent draws the second card their turn, that card instead becomes a banana. The banana was kind of a keeping the death rattle. And so people could destroy the enemy hero with a banana that had Mechathune's death rattle. That's no longer a bug. That was another really interesting thing.
That crap is bananas.
B-A-N-A-N-A-S.
That's a big
one. Those are the big ones. In particular, Magister Dawngrasp, we can actually play with them again. So I'm really excited about that. That is a really fun deck and a really fun card. So I'm glad that they were able to fix that thing so that we can play with them again.
Well, that was patch number one. Now for patches, pluralized, we have
patch 28.2.1. So this patch is much more, let's say, balance oriented. You know, there were some things that were, you know, basically bug fixes or reworks. This one has nerfs and buffs almost exclusively. And I'm a big fan of most of these. A couple of the warrior nerfs I'm less thrilled about, but I understand why they're doing it. So the first nerf that we're seeing is Inquisitive Creation, which was a 4-mana 3/4 mech with a battle cry, deal 1 damage to all enemy minions, and of course was improved by each spell school that you've cast this game. It is now a 5-mana 3/4 with the same effect. It's really, the mana went up from 4 to 5. That is the change. I'm happy to see this one. It was doing funky stuff in standard, and I ran into it a time or two in our format of Wild as well, particularly in Quest Mage in particular. So, you know, seeing this be kind of nudged in the mana direction up, not sad to see it. Have you run into much Inquisitive Creation, Hydra?
Barely, but this board clear on a body, I'm cool with it going up by mana, right? Because that's... board clear on a stick has always been kind of broken, in my opinion, so I'm in favor of bumping this up.
And this body is even a mech, too, so, like, mech mage? Like,
synergy as well. Like, it has a tribe. If it didn't have a tribe, it'd be obviously worse, but yeah, it's too much, so I'm cool. I'm cool with it. Thanks, D5. Mm-hmm.
So, now coming to the ones that I'm less thrilled about, I'm less thrilled about it, but I get it, right? So, Thori Bellori was a 4-mana 4/4 elemental beast with rush and death rattle. Go dormant. Cast a fire spell to revive Thori Bellori. And the health of Thori Bellori went from 4 down to 3. So that it is now a 4-mana 4/3. Enrage Warrior in standard is really, really fun and really, really good. And I think it's still good even with this and the next change. But this just kind of tones it down a little bit. Enrage Warrior's been a thing for a while. And kind of bringing the power level down just a little bit since it's been a thing since Nathria. Thank you, Azalea. While I'm not super thrilled about this change, I totally get it. Thori Bellori is a power outlier, and Enrage Warrior is a power outlier, too.
Yeah, for me, this sounds like it's just like one stat difference, mm-hmm. but it's a huge difference. Being like 4 health is a lot more than 3. I know it's only 1, but it's a lot more than 3. You can have...
That's a significant breakpoint. Yeah.
You can have a raptor can kill this, right? I know, like, you know, right? Like a 2-mana minion can kill a 4-mana minion basically at this point, like trading up. So it's kind of a big deal. So,
well, and especially with Thori Bellori, since every time it dies, it goes dormant and you cast a fire spell to revive it. Yeah, whenever you cast a fire spell every time, it's a 4/3 instead of a 4/4. So that one health is relevant
over
multiple
over
times.
Yeah.
Right.
So I think it's a big hit.
Yeah, it is a big hit, but I think Thori Bellori is still a really good card. This has just been Thori Bellori is from Nathria. And was still seeing a ton of play in standard. So makes sense why it was hit. The other card that was also an Enrage Warrior that was hit is Battleworn Faceless. It was a 2-mana 2/2. The stats don't matter. The mana cost does. Because the battle cry was transform into a copy of a damaged minion. So the stats on Battleworn Faceless only matter if you're playing it without like a damaged minion on board. Note, it just says damaged minion, not damaged friendly minion. You can copy your opponent's damaged minions too. So it went from 2-mana up to 3. This, like Azalea mentions in chat, is a bigger deal. Battle-worn faceless, you could like copy the two mana dude that would get the charge, and then you'd have multiple charges. Crazed Wretch, thank you, Azalea. So Crazed Wretch, you could get multiple of those, and you know, the being able to do things cheaply and efficiently and effectively for I said cheaply to begin with, but two mana and you can get like a second Grom, right?
Yeah.
That's one of the big breakpoints there in particular as well.
Yeah, it's kind of a big deal.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever get a chance to play with or against Battleworn Faceless, or was that mostly a standard thing?
No, I don't play as much standard as a lot of other people do, so I didn't run into this too much. So this one's a little foreign to me, but I can totally understand that now comboing this with other things, like your mana restrictions, make this a lot of a tighter squeeze to fit in.
Exactly. So those are the three nerfs that we got. There are still 11 cards to talk about, and these are buffs. So we'll probably skip through most of these a little bit quicker, but I'm going to want to talk about the first one a little bit more, because this first one is an archetype that I was excited to play and enjoyed, but it was not particularly great. And that was Sludge on Wheels, which was a 3-mana 1/5 and is now a 3-mana 2/5 with rush. And whenever this takes damage, get a barrel of sludge and add one to the bottom of your deck. So now you can like actually do more, have more actual impact rather than just like basically pinging something.
Yeah.
And then putting sludge on in your hand and to the bottom of your deck. Now it's 2 damage. That's double. This is a really big buff.
You can actually kill something now.
Right. And whenever I was like a little disappointed by the stat line initially, you know, people were like, oh, but the idea is that you want the things that your opponent has to, you know, stay alive so that you can get more sludges in your hand at the bottom of your deck. It's like, no.
No, I want to kill them. I want to kill the things. I don't want them to be alive.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's that argument.
And this helps.
That argument to me does not make any sense. Whatever. It, you want to control the board. You don't want to keep their stuff alive.
Yeah, so I think that, you know, those discussions were mostly like, you know, jokey. But
I should hope so.
So very excited to see that buff in particular, because Sludge Warlock is so much fun.
Yeah. All right, what's next?
Next is a warrior card, and that is Detonation Juggernaut. Used to be a 5-mana 3/6, and it's now a 4-mana 3/4. It's a mech with Taunt and Battlecry. Give Taunt minions in your hand, +2/+2. So Taunt Warrior is kind of sort of a thing in Standard, but not really. And this, both being a buff and a taunt itself to, you know, receive buffs from other things that buff taunt minions, and being a mech, all, you know, making it cheaper, making it easier to get out, quicker to get out, fitting that curve a little bit better for that taunt warrior. Hopefully we see a little bit more of it, because that's an archetype that I think is really fun. And kind of like mid-rangey, you also run like Black Rock and Roll, which like, I love that card. Mm-hmm. It's the card that's a 5-mana, I think it's a fire spell, that buffs everything in your deck by double. It just doubles the stats. Not the mana cost, just the stats. So, Detonation Juggernaut, play that on 4, play Black Rock and Roll on 5, and, you know, you can just keep that party rolling.
Yeah, I don't think, like, the fact that it used to be a 3/6, the loss in 2 health here, it doesn't matter because that wasn't the point of the card in general, right? Like you're buffing. This is debuffing. You get it out earlier. So yeah, that loss in health is not honestly a big deal.
Yeah. So and a quick correction: Lorthamar Theron, which is what I've been playing in Dragon Druid, buffs by double. Black Rock and Roll buffs the stats by the mana cost.
By the mana, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Thank you again, Azalea. Big fan. Moving on to Snake Eyes. Snake Eyes used to be a 2/3, and it's now a 2/4. It's a Demon Hunter card. It's a 3 mana. It's a Naga. With the battle cry, roll 2 dice, then discover 2 cards of those costs. Doubles get an extra discover. So buffed up the health by 1. I still don't think we're going to see Snake Eyes, you know, seeing play, but I still think that the effect is cool.
Not going to lie, I like it when they give some more health to something, so.
Mm-hmm. And now if people want to like have fun and play Snake Eyes, like Snake Eyes can stick around a little longer. Neat.
Pretty neat. Yeah, not much to say on that one. What do we got next?
Next, we're sticking with Demon Hunter, and we've got Going Down Swinging, which is, of course, from Festival of Legends and is a Fallout Boy reference. Used to be 5 mana.
Stole my thunder.
And is now 4 mana. I'm sorry. So it went down 1 mana from 5 to 4, and it's a legendary spell, no spell school, that reads, give your hero +2 attack and immune this turn, then attack each enemy minion. So by being slightly cheaper, you can buff your attack by a little bit more, which then lets you just continue going down, swinging, and kill off more of the opponent's board, etc. So, you know, it's not a bad move.
Even Demon Hunter buff.
Ooh.
Just kidding.
But you can make the Demon Hunter hero power cost 1.
Right? So cool.
Uh-huh. Well, another buff to even Demon Hunter is Flint Firearm, which used to be a 3 mana 3/3 and is now a 2 mana 2/3. So also took 1 attack away from it. A-okay with that, though. Because the impact for what Flint Firearm does, if you haven't seen it, is that it's a battle cry. Get a random quick draw card. If you play that random quick draw card this turn, repeat that effect. So you can keep on getting more and more quick draw cards. And by making the mana cost cheaper, you can either do it more by, you know, having more mana to play more quick draw cards, or of course do it earlier because Flint Firearm went from 3 mana down to 2.
Oh, this is super cool. It's one of those cards where I love the art.
Uh-huh. And he got a diamond version too. Like, yeah. They really want Flint Firearm to be good, or at least like played, and he wasn't. So maybe now he will be.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe. I feel like I'm waiting really, because you want to get, like, if you're trying to get max value out of this and playing it later in the game, at least it's going to be cheaper, maybe easier to, you know, just combo and keep going like a Lyra situation or whatever, right? Like, you can just keep going, hopefully, with it. But I'm honestly, unfortunately, not playing it and gonna rely on the randomness of that.
Well, you and I also don't typically play a whole lot of more like control style decks.
Yeah.
And I think that's where Flint Firearm can really shine, because like having one card that can be your whole turn and still be impactful, like you and I want to play stuff early, play stuff on curve, hit face, not worry about like keeping our, you know, cards. Like we want to take our cards and throw them onto the board or at our opponent's face. We don't want to like hoard our cards. Right. So that's why you and I probably still won't be playing Flint Firearm so much.
Yeah. And that's why. So I've never been a control player really, but I do like combo, and it stresses me out when I'm playing combo because I'm like, my hand is so full, and I'm like, oh no, but I don't have the thing yet. Which one do I play to like get rid of so I can get my combo piece? And, like I do.
No.
Yeah. Like so. Yeah. Combo and aggro are where I'm at, and this doesn't go in either of those. So probably it not also, playing it.
Ooh, if I had thought about the well. I submitted my THL decks before changes were announced because I didn't realize that the deadline had changed, which was my fault. But I brought Even Warrior, which is, you know, more of a control deck. But Flint Firearm can now go in Even Warrior. So there is that.
There is that. That would be neat because sometimes you're just like, your power pass. This would give you something to do.
Right? I'm excited about that. I am also, speaking of Even Warrior cards, Blast Charge has gotten a buff. It used to be 3 mana, and now you can play it in Even Warrior because it is now 2 mana. It's a spell schoolless spell that destroys a damaged enemy minion and excavates a treasure. So, excavate, treasure. Control, warrior, not really a thing at all in our format and still won't be. It was a little bit of a thing in standard and maybe will be more with cards like Blast Charge getting a little bit of a buff.
That's cool. I like it. Not much to say on it other than let's jam it in Even Warrior for fun.
Yeah, I don't even know if I'm going to do that, truthfully. Like
for fun.
I'd have to. So, especially with the excavate cards, like if the rest of them aren't even, and I don't remember the... one of the payoffs for Warrior was the 7 mana card. That's basically Brawl, but if you've excavated twice, you get... it always wins the Brawl.
Yeah.
That's an odd card. So we won't be able to play that in Even Warrior. So things like that are really fun, but don't match Even Warrior in particular. I know that you were joking, but like also I'd need to look at all the excavate cards to see if I'd even really want to play Blast Charge in Even Warrior. I don't think I would. But you were joking, so let's move on.
Move on.
And yeah, buddy. Antink Flinger used to be a 4 mana 5/4, and now it's a 3 mana 4/3.
I'm sorry, I find battle this cry. So funny. Antink Flinger, like what a rude card, right? You're just like, throwing all the antiques.
You, I don't like you. Throws an antique at your face. So for Antink Flinger, battle cry. If you've excavated twice, destroy an enemy minion. Odds are you have not excavated twice by turn 3, nope. But this does change a lot of the breakpoints, particularly with Shadow Step, so that you can do things like Flinger, Shadow Step, Flinger on turn 4. So,
yeah, that's pretty cool, I suppose. It's cheaper. Cool.
It's a standard thing.
Yeah.
Excavating in general is really fun, and Burrow Buster got a little bit better to keep that fun a rolling. So Burrow Buster was a 5 mana 6/4. It's now a 5 mana 6/5. The health went up by 1. It was and is a mech, and its effect was and is rush, battle cry, excavate a treasure.
I actually think this is like a really good change. We get a lot of quests to excavate things, so I've been playing excavate cards, duh. And every time I played this card, I was super bummed out, right? Because of the low health. You'd usually get to trade it into one thing, right? And then it was done.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a lot better. So I like it. I like it a lot.
Yeah, big agree. I was already playing Burrowbuster in my excavate decks, but like you said, it wasn't super impactful because basically I'd play it to like get an excavation and then like trade into something, but then it would die. Now it may not die.
Mm-hmm.
Well, still, I'm still going to play it, but now I'm going to be happier about it.
Yeah.
Yay.
Full agree.
Uh-huh. So the remainder of these cards are excavate treasures that have been buffed. So there are three excavate treasures that have been buffed. One of them is Escaping Trog. It was and is one mana. It used to be a 2/2. It is now a 2/3. And now it has rush. Or it always had rush. It does now. It used to, too.
It just got a bigger butt, basically.
Yeah. Speaking of things that can stick around, now maybe Escaping Trog is not escaping from the battlefield as soon as you actually play him.
He'll be dragging his butt off the board.
No, he's not a dragon. He's a trog.
He'd be trogging his butt off the board.
Well, another excavate payoff, excavate treasure that got a little bit of a bigger butt is the Canary, which gained one health. So it used to be a 2/1 and it's now a 2/2. Used to be two mana, still is. Used to be a rare, obviously, because it's two mana. And that's how excavate works. Still is. And the battle cry was and is return an enemy minion to its owner's hand. So it's basically sap on a stick. Now that stick is just a little bit bigger.
Yeah, agreed.
Neat. And finally, we have Steelhide Mole, which is, of course, an excavate treasure. It is an epic, which means that it's the third excavate treasure that you'll get, or the sixth. And it used to be a 2/7 and is now a 3/7, so it gained one attack. Everything else remains the same. It's a beast and has Taunt and Reborn and cannot be targeted by spells or hero powers.
Screw this card.
No lies, I was already happy whenever I got Steelhide Mole from like excavating, and now I'm just going to be happier. The two attack was never really like a whole lot. It was really the like seven health, you know, that big old butt, and then the reborn, and then not being able to be targeted by spells or hero powers. And so now whenever my opponents are like chipping away at it, instead of taking two damage, they're going to be taking three damage. So it's even better.
Yeah, obviously this isn't like a collectible card. If it was, this would be broken. Right. Is right. So like there's a chance you get this when you play a game, and just a small chance that you're gonna get this card, so I guess I'm okay with it. But when it happens, Hydra gonna be mad.
Bossy Hydra's gonna be grumpy Hydra.
yeah for sure. We did it. That's it for the buffs. That's crazy.
Hooray!
We did it! Cool.
So that's a lot of changes, a lot of buffs, a few nerfs, and a few complete reworks. So I'm glad to see, in particular, a lot of these excavate treasures kind of being modified so that we can like have more impactful things. They're meant to be treasures. They're meant to be those like super impactful things, both in the effect and in the body. And now we're seeing a couple of nudges to make them even more so. So I'm really happy about that.
Agreed. Yeah. I love all, like, we got patches in a week, right? Like two of them. That's pretty cool. So thinking back to when patches was actually legal in Standard, and it took the entire 2-year rotation to have that any cards or that card updated, right? And now we got two like balance changes like for like all these cards within like a week or two. Like, that's crazy. So Team 5 is definitely on it.
Absolutely. And I think I'm seeing double.
I stole that
joke from Hydra before we started recording.
It's all good.
So is your face.
Aw.
And now, unrelated advice.
With Electric Sheep City.
Aunt me.
So, I didn't have a question planned necessarily, but at the beginning of the show, you're like, well, just in case Hydralis asked me about this at the end of the show, I'll give some advice now. And I was like, you know what? Maybe let's explore that a little, just a little deeper, right? So,
okay.
You may have some advice on this. So I have been asked to give performance reviews to a crew that's in the double digits, right? And they have not reported to me for longer than 4 weeks. All right, so I have quite the challenge.
That is more than two.
Yes, that is more than two. But it is not an entire year like normally you get.
Right. No.
That is less than 52. So I'm basically gonna ask my buddy Sheep here if he's got any advice to give to me on this whole thing. It'd be as vague or detailed as you would like.
Yeah. So for the situation that you're in currently, I would definitely work with your employees to be like, hey, we get to kind of look at your year in review. What's something that you've done that, you know, is quantifiable, measurable, that, you know, we can say like, oh, you made X number of widgets. Like we can make that your goal. That's not really best practices in general, but you didn't inherit any of those KPIs to, like, you know, actually do it like the proper way.
Yeah.
So instead, you know, like let's see what they did. Let's, you know, work with them to see what milestones they've hit, and then, you know, evaluate them from there. Now, of course, going forward for next year, that I feel like is where you can really make a bigger impact. So what you want to do for KPIs in particular is that you want it to be measurable, something that takes over time for a specific objective. So one of the things to ensure that you get it right is focus on kind of these four different questions. So what is your desired outcome? How does that outcome help achieve your vision of success? So outcome, how does that help you succeed? How will you know that you've achieved your outcome? And then, of course, is this a leading indicator of performance or a lagging indicator of performance? So leading and lagging sounds like a bad thing. Mm-hmm. It's not. So a leading indicator of performance means that, like, you see that particular milestone, and that means that success, that the performance improvement or success is coming after. A lagging means that the performance happened first, and then the, like, indicator is a result of that performance. So it's that's kind of the difference between leading and lagging indicators. So you don't need to worry about what you're doing now is trying to find lagging indicators, because, like, you're coming in at the end of it and trying to just, like, see what's happening. KPIs in general can be leading or lagging, and neither one of those is a bad thing. But what you're trying to do now is pretty much just going to be exclusively lagging for that in particular reason. So that's kind of the general questions that, like, in my field of study, like, we've learned to kind of look for KPIs. I haven't really, from the manager side, put that into practice, but that's the kind of like book learning answer to the question.
So I'm getting advice from those two different sides of it, right? So I do have other, you know, production managers I work with that I can get advice from. And then I'm also looking to other people that have the book learning side, right? So it's, there's the hands-on and then there's the book learning. And I'm really appreciating. Unfortunately, I have, like, I'm asking other managers that have they got more experience in this, but a much smaller crew than I do. So I'm kind of going in there with like, I have to do way more reviews than the other people do, which is kind of crazy. But I learned something just now. So I do have to say that wiser words have never been spoken. And you heard that on
Bore to Be Wild.
Wild.
Wild. Yeah, you're in a pretty crappy situation, not gonna lie.